The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is, well, I guess it could be Monday, September 27th. It could also be Sunday, September 26th. This is the Early Odds Show in the feed. Check out the Week 3 recap. And we'll, of course, be previewing Monday Night Football from a gambling standpoint. Joining me now to look at Week 4 Early Odds, a freshly coiffed, trimmed, whatever you are, John Breach, looking sharp, buddy.
Brinson, somebody hits a 66-yard field goal. I got to get a haircut. I got to look smooth. I've been celebrating for the last 4 hours. I hope we see a 67-yard field goal in Week 4.
Bearing the lead on your Bengals winning, but we will get to that later in the recap or maybe when we talk about Thursday night football. Let's dive into the odds because, frankly, there's a huge game on Sunday. And it's Sunday night, and it's probably, I mean, it's Bucks at Pats. It's Tom Brady against Bill Belichick for the first time since Tom Brady in Tom Brady's career, because he's always played for the Pats. He is now going back to Foxborough for the first time since he left and won a Super Bowl in Tampa Bay. And it's on Sunday Night Football. And frankly, Breach, I don't know that we can overplay this. Like it's going to be the only thing anybody talks about for a week. I was asked about it last week on Boston Radio because that's all anybody wants to talk about. And it's going to be like the promo that they ran on Sunday Night Football this week, which it was like dun dun dun. It was like clips of like Brady being serious and like grinning slyly, and Belichick looking mad, making like faces like somebody had pissed him off pretty badly. And then it's like the return, Brady at Belichick. It was a really good promo. That wasn't that deep voice, but you know, that's how it goes. And the Bucks, they are -5.5 point favorite in Belichick's household with an over under of 49. What's your initial thoughts on this game?
My initial thought is that you being asked about this last week, Brinson, I got asked about this game in July.
Sure.
I mean, that is how much hype is here in this showdown between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, here is the funny thing, though, is that they're both coming off losses. It's kind of it feels like a must-win game for both teams if you take out the Brady Belichick element. But of course, you can't take that out because that's what this whole entire game is about. You know, I think a lot of people spent the past 12 months after Brady left New England kind of debating who was better for the Patriots. Was it Belichick or was it Brady? And then Brady took a big step ahead in that argument when he won the Super Bowl. And I think he can end it for good if he beats the Patriots on Sunday. And so my feeling on this game is that this is, I think it might not seem like, but I feel like it's a bigger game for Brady. He's the dumped girlfriend here. The Patriots decided they didn't want him. They let him walk because they thought they would be better off without him. Now he's got a Super Bowl ring and he can put that Super Bowl ring on his middle finger. No, he's not going to do that.
Stacks all like seven of them just
exactly. I feel like he is going to be absolutely motivated. I think the Buccaneers are the better team on paper. Mac Jones has struggled against good defenses. Not that the Buccaneers have been a great defense this year. And I think I like Tampa Bay to win and cover in this game.
Yeah, I mean, both teams are coming off a loss in Week 3, which, you know, surprising because, you know, we thought the Bucs might be able to go into and play the Rams and really beat up on them. But the Rams were able to throw the ball down the field they didn't need to run the ball. The Rams can do, based on their strengths and their weaknesses, they can exploit the Buccaneers defense. I didn't think about that enough when we were looking at this game. That was stupid on my part. The Patriots, their weaknesses and their strengths play right into the hands of the Buccaneers defense. The Buccaneers defense is great against the run and not great against the pass. They are what people in the DFS community call a pass funnel because of their good interior defensive linemen. They just force you into throwing the ball down the field. Well, that means this is all on Mac Jones to go out there and beat Tom Brady with his arm. Belichick doesn't want to do that. He wants to run the football. I'm sure you heard Belichick's answer when they're like, what did you see on those two interceptions from Mac? He goes, probably same thing you did. And then, like, that was his answer. He wasn't very happy about it. And so if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm worried that we are not going to be able to beat the Bucs on the ground and that the defense might not be able to limit Tom Brady enough because Brady, again, not going to be thrown off by the mystique of Gillette Stadium and playing against Bill Belichick. You know, he's pretty comfortable in Gillette Stadium. He's won a bunch of games there. He's not going to be freaked out by half the fans are going to be cheering for him, for crying out loud. So, I mean, I just don't see a way in which the Patriots win this game against Tom Brady in vengeance mode, coming off a loss, going to play Bill Belichick, unless Bill Belichick just knows how to scheme up against Tom Brady specifically.
Yeah, I think that is the one kind of twist here is that, look, Belichick was with Brady for 20 years. He knows every single weakness Brady has. He's going to develop some sort of defensive game plan to exploit those, but Brady's going to know he's going to do that. So the Buccaneers will come up with an offensive game plan to not let him do that. And this is like 4D chess that you always talk about, Brinson. But I think
4D chess.
You are an expert at 4D chess. You're probably the Garry Kasparov. 40 chess players. I don't know why I know any chess player names, but yeah. So I think Brady is going to win this game of 40 chess. And you know what? If Jameis Winston can go into Gillette Stadium and pick up a win, I feel pretty good about picking Tom Brady to do the same thing.
Yeah. So I would be taking the Bucs here, even though it'll be the chalky public side. I don't love doing it, but the Pats don't look great. I think the under might be the better play though. If you're picking something, because the Patriots will not want to turn this into a shootout. And we saw, even though the Patriots scored 30, the Buccaneers and Tom Brady scored 30 straight points in 9 straight games until Sunday when they only scored 24 against the Rams. You know, they can put up points, but they're also willing to get in sort of a lower scoring affair. I don't think they'll want to embarrass Belichick, right? Like, I don't think they would want to run maybe.
If Tom Brady can win this game 49-7, he is going to say, Bruce Arians, let's win this game 49-7.
All right, fair enough. Bill Belichick, I think we have like a separate like research doc on the on Belichick. Obviously, the most wins all time, including playoffs by a quarterback coach duo, 249. Next closest, Drew Brees and Sean Payton, who no longer exist together, 144. Then Big Ben and Mike Tomlin, 136. And they're basically at the end of it. You have, of course, first notable great quarterbacks, their first game against their old team. Ken Stabler, 1980, lost to the Raiders. He was playing with the Oilers. Joe Montana beat the 49ers in 1994. Kurt Warner with the Cardinals lost to the Rams. I guess Kurt Warner had gone to the Giants, so I'm not sure that works. Brett Favre famously beat the Packers in 2009. Peyton Manning lost to the Colts and Andrew Luck. What will happen with Tom Brady? We will find out. All right. Next up on our picks list, I don't know why my voice is gone. I can't figure out what I might have done this weekend to lose my voice. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I know what I did.
I know what you did.
Yeah, everyone knows what I did. Thursday Night Football, Jaguars and the Bengals. Speaking of exciting wins for your favorite team, the Bengals picked off the Steelers as how many people predicted in CBS?
6 out of 9.
No, not against the spread, straight up.
Oh, everyone?
That is not true. There's one. It was me.
Are you kidding me? I picked him straight up too. What are you talking about? Yeah. Really?
The two of us. Yeah, that's right.
For instance, trying to pretend like I didn't.
I forgot we talked about this last week. Bengals, a healthy 7.5-point favorite over under 45 as they host the pathetic Jaguars on Thursday Night Football. Will there be an emotional letdown here for your boys? Or do you think Joe Burrow will come to play?
Well, first of all, are we sure this isn't a typo? I'm going to ask Debo, our producer. The 7.5 points? They're a 7.5-point favorite? Is this correct?
Are you saying that's too much? I think it should be like 17.5. What?
The Cincinnati Bengals should not be a 7.5-point favorite.
The Jaguars had a 19, like a double-digit lead and lost and didn't even cover.
Now, you know what, though, Brinson? I was going to do the old go one way and go back the other way. You know what's funny is that over the past 10 years, the Bengals have only been a touchdown or more favorite 17 times over 10 years. And in those 17 games, they are 15-1-1 straight up, 11-4-2 against the spread. So usually when they get that touchdown favorite status, it's because Vegas is reading them right and they are winning games. And you know what? The reason they're winning games is because their defense has been so good. The Steelers only scored 10 points. That defense played well against the Vikings and pretty well against the Bears, almost overcame Joe Burrow's 3 interceptions. So I think this team is going to do bad things to Trevor Lawrence, who is averaging, what, like 8 interceptions a game. It's getting ugly. He threw a pick 6 on a flea flicker. And you did
that mention that was a terrible play call and an even worse throw.
I don't know what you're doing. You throw that. I mean, it just gave Arizona a touchdown for free at a key spot in the game when Jackson was actually winning in the second half, which are words that don't usually go together. And you said maybe they overlooked Jacksonville. I have 3 reasons why I don't think that will happen. Number one, it's a primetime game. Bengals are going to show up in primetime. This is Andy Dalton's Bengals. This is Joe Burrow's Bengals. Number two, they're unveiling a ring of honor. So there's going to be kind of, the Bengals don't have one. They are going to have one starting Thursday. There's going to be kind of an electric atmosphere at the stadium. And they're also honoring the 40th anniversary of their Super Bowl 16 team. So the Bengals are going to be hyped up. I think they're going to roll. I think they win by double digits. I'm taking Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think this number short, and it's not that Cincinnati, it's interesting, but Cincinnati, as you point out, their defense is better than people think, and their offense is starting to come together. Jamar Chase looks awesome. He's shutting up all the fools who said that it was a bad idea to draft him instead of Penei Sewell, that he couldn't catch a football in the preseason. He ends up looking like one of the biggest steals of the draft, and certainly, well, not of the draft, but one of the biggest steals in the fantasy drafts, and is maybe might even be the favorite for rookie of the year by the time people listen on Monday or when we talk about that. So, yeah, I don't know if you want to buy the half a point. I know RJ always points out that's dumb to do, and this total is low, which implies not a lot of scoring. The Bengals should roll the Jaguars. The Jaguars are a bad football team, and they're not coached well, and they don't know how to close, and they have a rookie quarterback who likes to make mistakes. Lawrence flashes all the time, but like Joe Burrow's beaten him once already in their careers. College, granted, but it could happen again. All right. Next up, the St. Louis Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals go to face the Los Angeles Rams. Arizona beat the Jaguars on Sunday in a comeback effort. The Rams, of course, took down the Bucs. And that makes the Rams 6-point favorites with an over-under 53.5 breach.
You know what? This one to me feels easy. The Rams have absolutely dominated the series. Look, Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay might be friends, but they're clearly not best friends because Sean McVay never lets Kingsbury win. These two teams have played 4 times since Kingsbury became the coach of the Cardinals, and Kingsbury is 0-4 straight up against McVay, 0-3-1 against the spread. The Rams have beaten the Cardinals 8 straight times overall. It has just been a disaster for the Cardinals whenever these two teams play. The Rams just have a defense that's talented enough to slow down Kyler Murray. That's really what it comes down to. You know, you have a beast like Aaron Donald who can keep pressure on the passer at all times because he's almost as fast as Kyler Murray. You have cornerbacks who can match up with all of those Arizona receivers, not just Jalen Ramsey. The whole secondary has been playing well. And so that makes it tough for Arizona to do anything. So, and now the Rams have an even more high-powered offense than they've had in these past games that they've beaten Arizona. You know, Jared Goff was 4-0 against the Cardinals. I think Matthew Stafford's going to be able to beat them by even more. So I know both these teams are good this year, but I don't think this one's going to be close. I think the Rams win and cover, and I'm tired of taking the favorites, but I got to keep doing it, Brenton.
Maybe not a bad idea. You could do a Bengals-Rams teaser where you tease them down, and all basically you get it down like Bengals -1.5. I guess you do a 6-point teaser and make the Rams a pick 'em. And then you just need, you know, both teams essentially just to win, which is not asking nearly as much. My concern when you look at Arizona, you know, they handled Jacksonville pretty easily, but Jacksonville ran the ball all over them and they had tons of options in the passing game. That secondary is not good. The Rams offensive line holds up really well. And the one of the things that we saw on Sunday with the Rams and the Bucs in that game, they started to get DeSean Jackson involved more. And he adds a different dimension. When you have DeSean Jackson stretching the field, it opens things up for Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods underneath. And so I'm in agreement with you. I think the Rams is the play here. I would probably lean to the over because I do think the Cardinals will find a way to get into the high 20s and the Rams should be in the 30s. But if the Rams get in a blowout situation, who knows, you know, what could happen in that game. All right. Ravens at Broncos. Broncos -1.5 over under 44.5. Who would have thought the Broncos are favored over the Ravens heading into this game?
I guess that's what happens when you almost lose to the Detroit Lions. That Vegas just says, all right, you're an automatic underdog in your next game. You know what? I know the Broncos are 3-0, just one of two undefeated teams in the AFC. But Brinson, do you know what the combined record is of the teams that Denver has beaten? It is 0-9. They have beaten 3-0-3 teams.
Well, really, let's say 0-6 because they're 3-0. You got to at least give them 0-6 outside of the Broncos games. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, 0-6 outside the Broncos games. However you want to spin it, those teams are winless. It is Jacksonville. It is the Giants. It is the Jets. So I don't know how much we really know about the Broncos because they haven't faced a good team. Well, guess what? The Ravens are a good team. I think they're going to show up to Denver really motivated, especially because they almost got upset by Detroit. There's going to be no sleeping on your opponent. Not that they would sleep on or overlook.
Ooh, mile high, we might get 67 yards.
We might get a 67-yard field goal. So I think the Ravens are going to have a big game. I don't think they were expecting kind of to get punched in the face by the Lions. And I think it's good that they did because now they're going to go in and just – be motivated to take this one. I think we're going to see a big game from Lamar Jackson. I think we're going to see a game-winning field goal from Justin Tucker. And as you said, maybe it's from 67 yards. So I like the Ravens to pull the upset here.
I will take the Broncos. And I'm not in a hurry. I'm not in a rush to bet it because of the. I don't think it's going to scream up to, you know, unless there's some COVID situation with Lamar or whatever it is. And I understand why you would take the Ravens. That is it's a pretty good spot. You're getting points with Baltimore, who theoretically is a better team. But I believe in this Broncos roster. And I think they can exploit the Ravens defense, which has not been that great. Lamar Jackson will try to run. But I think if there's a team that can slow down the Ravens, I need to dig a little bit more into, you know, Vic Fangio's history against Lamar and all that. But I do think it's Denver with their defense that flies around, can be sound, technically sound, and has strength up front. So I will take the Broncos and lay the 1.5. The under might be a decent look here too, because it's 44.5. That's low. I mean, golly, it was 19-17 in that Baltimore Detroit game. And that was only because Detroit was really trailing and started, you know, king of garbage time. Jared Goff was slinging it around. Giants at Saints. Saints -8, over under 43.5. This might be, I hate to, we're talking about all the favorites here, but the Giants are terrible.
Terrible. They're terrible. Brinson, you know, we are talking about all the favorites. We did pretty well picking games last week, so I'm not going to worry about the fact that we are taking all the favorites. But you know what? I have lost all faith in the Giants. You said it, they're terrible. They couldn't even handle the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons were giving up 40 points per game through the first 2 weeks of the season. Sure, it's a small sample size, but it's still 40 points per game. And the Giants could only score 2 touchdowns. It was absolutely embarrassing that they lost to the Falcons. I just don't see how this team is not good on offense. They're not good on defense.
And they're let me stop you. Good. They're just not good.
Exactly. And so, you know, the coaching staff has been making some questionable decisions. And the other part of this is that this is the Saints' return to New Orleans. You know, they had to play that first home game in Jacksonville. Now the hurricane hit, and now you have the stadium finally opening back up. So I think the Saints are absolutely going to be fired up for what is going to be their actual home opener in New Orleans. I think they're going to roll the Giants and win by double digits.
Completely agree. And I will probably be making the Saints my survivor pick. Need to look at the rest of their schedule. But the Giants look terrible. Their only real offense is like Daniel Jones when he's freaking – you know, running the ball. And I'm just not buying into anything they're doing. Jason Garrett, very uninspiring. I will take the Saints here. They might be another teaser team to look at as well with that 8 points. You get it down to 6. Like if you had Rams as a pick 'em and Saints at -2, I'm feeling pretty good about that. Tease, or maybe even tease the Bengals and the Saints. Like tease against these bad teams who are just bad. Finally, Monday Night Football, the Raiders at the Chargers.
Ooh.
Chargers -3 coming off a huge win over the Kansas City Chiefs that actually leaves the Chiefs in the basement of the AFC West. The Raiders undefeated, and this is a big matchup on Monday Night Football in LA. You have to assume there'll be more Raiders fans than Chargers fans. I'm sick and tired of going to the over on these Chargers games, but I think I would lean towards the over here and probably take the points of the Raiders somehow.
I don't know anything. The Raiders have been blowing my mind this year. I mean, this team, if you're a Raiders fan, I don't know how your heart is still working, because every game is just this giant roller coaster that you feel like it's going to crash. Then all of a sudden, it ends up exactly how it's supposed to, and the Raiders end up winning. You know, when I saw their schedule, their first three games back in July, back in August, I was thinking, man, this team is going to be lucky to go 1-2 when you have the Ravens, the Steelers, the Dolphins, playing three teams that made the playoffs last season, and they're 3-0, and they're the first team in NFL history that has started season 3-0 by beating three teams that went to or had 10 or more wins last season. And so it really is unbelievable what they've done. But the one thing that still worries me is their defense. We saw it in week one against Baltimore. Just they ran up and down the field. We saw it against the Dolphins. They struggled against Jacoby Brissett. And so that's trouble. I think the Chargers are loaded on offense. I think this game is going to be a shootout. I like the Chargers to barely cover. Just barely. Just like this much.
Just barely cover. All right. Yeah, I think it'll be a close game. That's why I'll take the points if I'm getting – if it's a divisional game, high total, you know, Raiders are undefeated and getting points. Give me the points, but I do think the Chargers. I like the Chargers' chances against that defense. But if you're taking anything in this game, I think you would want to take the Raiders now, or is this more likely to drift towards a pick because there's no home field advantage in LA? So that early line may even just be like, oh, divisional game, we don't know. Let's give it three. That's home field advantage, and then they realize that, oh wait, it's going to be a Raiders home field advantage. So if you like the Raiders, bet them now. All right, that is the week 4 early odds. Look ahead. Reach. Talk to you later, buddy.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.